Welcome, this is Kirsten Hodgins, a psychic medium and an empowering and awakening coach. And I am so excited to have Mark Cummings with us today on this call. Mark was a clinical chief of stress management therapy at ChemH. Also, Mark has taught courses in biofeedback-assisted self-regulation within the School of Kinesiology and Health Sciences at York University for the past 25 years. He has previously developed innovative programs as a stress management therapist at a leading addiction and mental health treatment center in Toronto, as well as having a private practice focused upon performance and health enhancement in sports, business, and daily life. He is certified in biofeedback, medical qigong, hypnosis, timeline therapy, and integrates material from neuro-linguistic programming, along with Chinese, martial, and healing arts into the self-regulation skills he teaches. He is also a co-author of Learn Self-Regulation, Owner's Manual for Self-Regulation of Your Brain and Body. And I am so honored to have you here with us, Mark. Welcome. How are you today?
Good. Okay. We're in interesting times.
Yes, we are. And that's why I've invited you to come on. I've been, including myself, this is how do we manage with what is triggering us and how we're getting caught up in it, you know, fear, like we were saying before we began, fear is contagious. And I know that I've been using my tools, but I'm not going to lie, to be honest, it's at times it has been challenging, but I am feeling really good today. And I'm hoping that you can help us to add to our toolbox and to help us through this time, this season.
As you mentioned, fear tends to be contagious, and with every source of media, et cetera, and how they're influencing everyone else, there's a reason to be cautious and aware and follow certain procedures. Some of the other stuff is pushing the fear way out of perspective. And I think people, especially people who are sensitive, are picking up on that. But we do have to remember that fear tends to scare your light away. And when you get disconnected from the most powerful and significant part of who you are, that becomes a problem. And so what we sometimes have to realize is that fear can suppress the immune system. And we're so worried about getting the coronavirus that we forget that the fear that we're having is actually making us more likely to be susceptible if we get exposed by chance.
Absolutely. Even if I have a sniffle or a cough, I have it at the back of my mind. Am I safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when to fear something, you have to focus upon what you don't want. And so that you get what you focus upon. And so that we have to understand as human beings, we're so powerful as manifestors that we can actually facilitate and arrange to create those conditions. And so one of the more important things is that we stay connected, stay present, and take care of ourselves. And when we can reconnect, everything balances out, and that's when we're the healthiest state.
I love that, because the creating of the tools for me has been going right back into the present moment. Like, where am I hanging out? Noticing and observing where I just gave my energy to, and I lost being in charge of my own state, and I've let it go on automatic pilot like a puppet to what's going on around me. So I've been able to take my power back by bringing myself into being aware and then breathing. I think that's such an underestimated tool to pull out. It's just notice your breath, and that place, when we become conscious, we're able to then have a calmer mind and body to really draw on what's really going on. And that's where I've been able to help myself and clients recently be able to filter through what's ours and what isn't, and to have a proper perspective. So what more tools could, did you want to speak to that?
Well, one of the things is that the only position of choice we have in our lives is in the present moment. And so if you're worried about the future, you have to realize that the future is arrived at through today and this moment. And so if you're worried about the future, tell your brain what you want to occur and then start taking the actions in the present to help facilitate that. And so, but it all starts about, we say, just showing up for life. And so that when you're in the present, the system tends to balance itself out most effectively. And so Fritz Perls, the father Gestalt therapy, he used to say, my clients really made good progress when they finally lost their minds and came back to their senses. And so the process of moving back into the present involves grounding back into the physical body sensations that happen to be there at that moment in time, without judging them as bad or good, right or wrong. And so sometimes one of the simplest processes is something we call quick being present. It's just opening up to the big receptor areas in your brain, like the fingers and hands, the lips, tongue, face, toes and feet. They have a lot of receptors up in the motor cortex of the brain. And so that if we can ground back into those sensations without judging them, it tends to move us back into the present, tends to quiet the mind, and then everything knows how to balance itself out. And so the quick being present exercise, you can do almost anywhere, anytime. And so that what we ask you to do is just rub your fingertips lightly together, feeling those sensations. At the same time as you're doing that, wiggle your toes, feeling those sensations. Then at the same time as you're feeling the toes and the fingers, as you wiggle them, rub them together, then what we'd like you to just is breathe in cool air in through your nose, feel the coolness of the air that goes in, and then breathe out the warm air out through your mouth, past your lips and tongue, and feel those sensations as you're doing it. So wiggle the toes, rub the fingertips together, breathe in cool, out warm. Paying attention to those sensations. Just wiggle the toes, rub the fingertips together, breathe in cool, out warm. And as you continue to wiggle the toes, rub the fingertips together, feeling those sensations. Feel the coolness of the air as you inhale, warmth of the air as you exhale. Just notice how quiet your body and mind becomes when you move yourself back into the present. Lose your mind, come back to your senses. It can be that simple. If you're breathing in cool and out cool, you're probably hyperventilating. So breathe in cool slowly, breathe out through the past the lips and tongue, feel the warmth, and that gives you instant peace. Very simple, but it works. We have to remember that we were called human beings to give us a clue. Where is our power? When we allow ourselves to just be in the moment, that's when we're most effective. We teach the same thing, whether it's someone suffering from anxiety or an elite athlete. When we're present, we're most effective. So just notice how that made you feel.
Well, just a comment, Mark, it was it was amazing, because I'm so used to just noticing my breath, and I use my mind as a tool for calming by counting. So this took away even the mental capacity. I began to physically just go out into a completely different state. I love this tool. It really is a completely deepening and relaxing tool to share. Thank you.
And you can modify it. You could be at a party and you could feel a glass, holding glass on your fingertips. You can feel the toes. If you're not wiggling the toes, you can rock back and forth slightly and just feel the weight shift back and forth in the bottom of the feet. Have that awareness. At the same time as you have to breathe anyway. Breathe in cool, out warm. And all of a sudden, you're present and anxiety's gone.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Very powerful. Thank you. So in terms of the going back to managing and you know, using some scenarios, some of my clients have been overwhelmed with the change and the new norm that's affecting them. So for instance, I have some clients who are managing with, you know, having their whole family at home and really having some fear around their children. And also some of them are concerned about their empaths, very, very special empaths. And even if they pick up the energy from the media, but mostly from the people that they get a phone call with a friend or the people that they're talking with, there's a lot of negativity and they find that they're not grounding and they really take it on for hours. They're exhausted. So what I've been helping them with is to, you know, set boundaries up to be able to use their voice and establish the conversations and to consciously choose what they're willing to expose themselves to, especially when it comes to resources and the information that's out there, and to limit themselves. Is there anything that you would like to give them advice on these scenarios?
Well, as you know, the some of the hysteria that's been created through media, some of it's well-intentioned in a lot of cases as far as wanting to get people to follow through on social distancing, some of the different processes, try to stop the flatten out the curve, as they said, because our healthcare system already was strained in terms of dealing with elderly patients getting sick, et cetera, and trying to find beds and getting them to nursing home space, et cetera. It was already challenging. And so that if they had a surge of people in that category, they'd have very difficult time dealing with that. One of the other things is that we have to get in perspective that we have to do what we can do. And that when they said, in some figures, they said, well, 3.5% of the people, that's the death rate. And it turns out, no, that's 3.5% of the seriously ill people who had to seek hospitalization. And so that works out to dramatically lower percentage. And so sometimes you have to get those perspective pieces. And so all we can do to a large extent is try to take care of ourselves and be a model for our children and from the people around us. And so that when we can keep on rebalancing, recentering ourselves, people pick up on that too. If you're an empath, guess what? Your children are probably sensitive too. And children tend to be more sensitive anyway. And so that you can be an example of that. And so sometimes we just have to keep on. It's like you've been helping a lot of people in the last little while, but that puts a strain on you. And so that it's about like learning how to go back and rebalance ourselves on a regular basis and recharge, rebalance, recharge, because then we can go back out and be more useful and helpful for others. If we get too far off, we can't help others. So sometimes we have to just find our little mini breaks where we can rebalance that. So you have things like even noticing whether you're getting sucked into anxiety-provoking thinking And so that once you notice that, you can think about, you can perhaps be aware of what your thoughts were. And then, is that what I want? Because they talk about anxiety as praying in reverse. Because you usually, if you're getting anxious, you're thinking about what you don't want. And so you have the thought, and then you energize it with fear. What if it happened? And you send it out. And that's how people manifest. But they can manifest what they don't want with anxiety. Whereas we always ask people to do a quick thing, a quick anxiety relief, we call it. So we ask you imagine, think about the event that you're anxious about and notice if it makes you anxious. And then we ask you to do a little bit of judo, okay? We ask you now to imagine 15 minutes after the successful completion of the event about which you were worried. Imagine 15 minutes after the most realistic, optimistic future possible, and imagine that. And once you've done that, just notice, where did the anxiety go? Is it gone? Anxiety is the do-it-yourself project. And so that you can actually relieve a lot of that by just practicing the quick anxiety relief. And this is the thing that we do with athletes, we do with people. If you're going on a date and you're anxious, no one usually thinks about, if they're anxious about going for a date, they're not thinking about, oh my God, what happens if we connect so powerfully and we have such an amazing, fantastic time and they think I'm a great person. You usually don't worry. You're usually thinking, oh, what if they think I'm a goof? What if it doesn't go bad? What if it goes bad, et cetera? You usually think about what you don't want. That's how you do anxiety. And so if you imagine 15 minutes after successful completion, just imagine walking away and saying, wow, that was a great, we really connected. That was fantastic. It would totally change your experience. And you could go in there in a much better state to enjoy yourself.
I love that. I'm definitely going to use that for myself. I also wanted to know, what if there you are, it's not like a perceived anxiety or a projection into your future, but what if you actually are with, family members? What if your husband or your child has this virus, and how would you, what advice would you give to somebody that's going through they're right in there. That's not something that they're worried about having, like loss of job and all those things. But for the people who are going through all of the things that they are afraid of, and it's happening, is it the same tool used, or is there anything more that we could pull out for being in it?
Well, one of the things is when people are actually going through it, one of the things that we have to look at is that, some of the greatest power that different diseases have is your fear of it and the fear of what's going to happen. So Anita Morjani, Dying to Be Me, she wrote, she talked about how when she was going through, she had advanced cancer, and she realized she actually went into coma, went into the light, and what she realized is that the greatest fear that her cancer had, she says, was my fear of it. And she didn't realize how much that suppressed her very ability to be able to deal with that. Once she realized that and came back out of the light, she healed within a matter of weeks from very advanced, she was dying. That's a more extreme case, but we have to realize that if we can reconnect and rebalance ourselves regularly, your immune system can do its job. We have to realize that our immune system is far more powerful than we ever realized, and we're given credit for. But it's when we suppress that immune system with fear, stress, negative toxins, a variety of different things like that, overwork. Sometimes we have to just rebalance ourselves so that the natural capacities of our body can kick in. There are things like vitamin C. People say, oh, vitamin C, oh yeah. That there's actually one of the doctors, the Shanghai Medical Association, who had been using IV vitamin C and using that to deal with cancer, all kinds of advanced diseases. So since he had been doing it for so many years, that he started using that for people with the coronavirus or who were their respiratory system, the pneumonia, et cetera, was hit being attacked. And so that what he did show is when they started doing that, his patients all recovered, because he knew this because he'd been using it for pneumonia related illnesses, et cetera, for 10, 15 years. And so that everybody in his reports, everybody he has treated in that advanced condition where they had to be close to respirator the whole bit, everybody recovered from the coronavirus, even though it was in an advanced stage for them. So most people are going to get IV vitamin C, okay? But there's some evidence suggesting there's one type of vitamin C, liposomal vitamin C, that can actually be taken orally, but have a concentration level in the blood that's similar to getting IV vitamin C. So some people are using that. And yet you could still, there's some evidence suggesting that even just regular vitamin C taken larger doses for people who can tolerate it, that that's a very powerful protective mechanism. So do what you can do to make yourself healthier. Take those breaks. If you want to make, what do you think the opposite of fear is?
Love.
I would suggest it might be something, yeah, love. And what's some forms of love that we can practice?
I love to give.
Gratitude.
Oh, yes. Gratitude, appreciation.
Gratitude is a form of love. And so that being able to start being thankful for the resources you have. And it's hard to do that when you're feeling rotten. But sometimes it's the difficult things to do that make the biggest difference for us. So actually practicing, what do I have to be thankful for? And if you're at home, sometimes the kids might be driving you crazy, et cetera. And so they might not be able to go and play with their friends the same bit, and it's tough. But in fact, if you could take some time to appreciate how much you really care about your children, how much, for example, and if you're not sick, I every day, sometimes I'll just take a breath and appreciate how great it is just to be able to breathe the oxygen in easily and breathe out, and the amazing functioning of my body. Sometimes it just takes time to appreciate something simple like that. But that strengthens your system. Sometimes we have to reconnect back with that part of our spirit that is amazingly powerful. And so that you saw all the great healers, they just connected back with that piece of God as such, that spirit, and then just projected that and raise the other person's vibration so they could experience that. And we saw all kinds of healings. So sometimes we just have to reconnect back with ourselves. One of the ones I sometimes is nice that way is sternum focus. sternum focus is a really a form of attention control that tends to move you back into the present. But it's kind of nice because it does recenter and reconnect you with you. And so that in sternum focus, everybody knows where the sternum or breastbone is. If you just place your palm lightly on the sternum or breastbone, so your arm, your elbow is down and your arm's resting on your body, so it's not too much energy. And then all they ask you to do is just open up to whatever physical body sensations you might happen to feel in the area of the hand. So just notice what the heel of the hand feels like, the palm, the fingers, the fingertips, from your thumb all the way through to the little finger. And notice the movement of your chest as you inhale or exhale. Fully feeling any sense of temperature, perhaps warmth or coolness of the air on your skin. But as you close your eyes and notice what the hand feels like, fingertips, notice the movement of your chest as you inhale or exhale. Fully feeling any sense of temperature, perhaps warmth. As you continue to feel the hand and what it feels like, just open up to any other sensations in the air of that hand. So if your heart was pounding, your heart's pounding. It's better than it pounds and not at all. Just simply experiencing and including what is, simply because it is. As you continue to feel the hand and what it feels like, continue to feel the movement of your chest as you inhale or exhale, fully feeling any sense of temperature, perhaps warmth. As you continue to feel the hand and what it feels like, just allow yourself to slowly open your eyes as you continue to feel the hand. Continue to feel the movement of your chest as you inhale or exhale, fully feeling any sense of temperature, perhaps warmth. As you continue to feel the hand and what it feels like, just notice what the body and mind feels like. You might even notice the hand feels like it belongs there after a while. The people who develop that technique report people tend to become emotionally comfortable relatively quickly. But in a way that's pretty simple. It's just feel and include what is. Simply because it is. So taking a short break to just reconnect and just experience whatever is. Simply because it is. Neither bad nor good, it just is at that moment in time. Sternum focus is a really simple way of reconnecting. That seems to work. There's another variation of that with the heart lock, where they'll ask you just to hold that feeling of gratitude, compassion, love, whether you're thinking about someone special to you or whether you're think about your dog, or pet, something like that, that give you unconditional love. And sometimes if you just hold that warm feeling in the area of the heart, that too creates some really powerful positive effects, enhancing the immune system, etc. So those are a couple of simple things.
Powerful, beautiful. Thank you so much. These are wonderful, and we really appreciate you sharing these with us, Mark. And just to recap on a summary, I made a list of the tools and the thoughts that we had that you'd share today. The first one was to really bring your power back to the breath, and the tool that you used immediately was the breath and the rubbing of your fingertips and rubbing of your toes. That helps you to begin to open up to the conscious, to the present moment, where we can get our power back and become aware of where our thoughts are hanging out. And then we could move into the self-regulating, and we can hold the appreciation or the vision of what we do want. Because like you said, that anxiety is praying in backwards. I really love that. That's a great reminder. And so what do we want if we know that? And the other one was to have that gratitude and what's already going well in the circumstances. And so we know that, yes, we have we can consciously choose where we're giving our focus to. And when we do so, when we learn, practice having gratitude and appreciation, you up level your state. You're able to connect back with your spirit and project that and raise that in for others to feel that around you. Because we know how when we have responsibility for our state, we begin to know what it cost us. Because if we know fear is contagious, and we're spreading that to the people we love and other people, we know that it's to be a leader and to really help those and to raise up everyone, because it's healthier for our mind and body. Then certainly notice where you're hanging out, up leveling your states through those processes. And I love your tools. I don't know what you called your first tool, but I just called it the breathing and the toe and finger.
Yeah, there's the quick being present.
Quick being present. And then your second was the sternum focus. It's the attention.
The sternum focus.
Which I loved. Then, very powerful.
Somewhere in there we had the quick anxiety relief. Imagine 15 minutes after successful completion of the event about which you're worried.
That's right. That was powerful. Thank you for reminding us. And then we finished
One of the other things I just wanted to say is that some of the more advanced spiritual sources end up saying one of the things we have to realize in this new energy is we have to assume benevolence. Assume that these things are happening and there's a positive reason behind it. That, in fact, sometimes we have to go through uncomfortable stages to get to a better place. And so think about this opportunity that everybody's having to consider how important their health is to them. And consider, maybe I can start eating in a healthier way. Maybe I could start exercising to contribute to my health. Maybe I could start relaxing and dumping some of the stress on a more regular basis. Or maybe I could spend some more time connecting with people in positive ways that strengthen me and them. So this, what we're going through, could be a great opportunity, just like Mother Earth has benefited from the Chinese factories shutting down, and they could actually see a visible difference. They say the canals in Venice are running clear now. And so maybe we have to look at some of these things. What an opportunity to realize how we could modify our behavior in the future to get to a much better place for everybody.
That's powerful. Thank you so much for sharing that and giving us those extra tips. I'm certainly going to take that advice. So, Mark, this has been such a pleasure and so enlightening for me, and I know it will be for the listener. So, again, it's my deep gratitude that you were free today for this interview, and all the blessings to you, Mark, and for everyone that's listening. Be safe, happy, and well. Thank you.
You're welcome.